what did we know at the time? We had so much of us still to find with our young and innocent minds. So beautifully blind, it's a pretty rare happy day.
Welcome back to Open Language. This is Lisa.
Hey guys, it's Adam.
So today we're going to be talking about International Women's Day.
That's right. This is a huge day in China, not a huge day in North America.
No, not so much here. There's growing interest, but not on the same level as China.
Right. But just because we do not celebrate one day, that doesn't mean that female power and feminism is not alive and well.
Exactly. We have a lot of marches, and you've probably heard about the Me Too movement.
Okay, so lots of stuff to cover today. Why don't we go ahead and listen to this dialogue between Nikki and her friend Kieran?
Sounds good to me. Hey, do you guys get a half day off for women on International Women's Day?
Nope. It's a regular workday for us. Why? Do women get time off in China?
Yep. Of course, not all women take the time off, but they are entitled to it under law.
Interesting. I think we mostly just have rallies and conferences. Speaking of which, I'm attending a talk on sexism and feminism in the workplace today, if you want to come along.
Why not? I've actually been reading up on gender equality and the pay gap issue. Apparently, some sources say women earn about 20% less than their male counterparts in the US.
Yeah, I heard about that. A lot of companies are trying to rectify that, but there's still a glass ceiling, especially for female executives.
But I do think that some of the male-dominated industries are trying to be more inclusive. The Me Too movement has forced a lot of companies to step up.
Yeah, that's definitely something I wish our company would work a little harder on.
Man, don't even get me started. All right, so we just heard the dialogue between Nikki and Kieran, and Nikki starts out by saying, hey, do you guys get a half day off for women on International Women's Day?
Right, so whenever we're talking about vacation time or not working, we're always talking about getting time off work. You don't have to work.
Exactly. So you can say, get a day off work, get a week off work, or even here, get a half day off work.
I'm thinking a month. Like, I would love to get a month off work.
That would be the dream.
That's the, well, I guess, an elementary school teacher.
That's true. They get 2 months off.
2 months off. But of course, we're not talking about teachers here. We're talking about ladies.
Ladies, ladies, ladies.
But we don't say International Ladies Day, right?
No, we say International Women's Day.
Right. Now, just be careful here, guys, because we don't say Woman's Day.
Nope, it's women.
It's all women. Now, as we did mention in the intro, it's not really a very special day here.
No, it's a regular work day for us, so we don't really get time off.
The regular work days.
Yeah, so a regular work day, just like it sounds, is a normal day.
Right, there's no, you know, you don't get to come in late, you don't get to leave early, it's just a regular, boring old day.
Okay, but on the opposite side, Kieran asks, do women get time off in China?
And they do, right? You guys all know that, but not everybody takes it.
No, exactly. So if they don't take the time off, it means that they choose to work.
Right, right. You guys are so hardworking, even though you're entitled to this time.
Yeah, so you are actually entitled under law. So this means that you have the right to do it.
You've got the right. Yeah, that's right. Or you just, I mean, you deserve it too, right?
Exactly. But you can be entitled to other things too, can't you?
Sure, I'm entitled to my opinion.
Yeah, or you're also entitled to a vacation.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Now, I am not entitled to walk into the boss's office, you know, just sit down at their desk, smoke a cigar.
No, you don't really have the right to do that.
Exactly, exactly.
But you might feel that you're entitled to do it.
Yeah, and that's one thing we hear a lot today, especially the older generation, the baby boomers. They always say that our generation, the younger generation, has a sense of entitlement.
Exactly. And this just basically means that we feel that we have the right to do many things that maybe we shouldn't be allowed to do.
Maybe, maybe, maybe. Or it's because, you know, like they had a job straight out of high school, they bought a house really, really cheap, and because we also want those things, well, you're entitled.
That's right, but they don't think about how much more expensive it is now.
Exactly, exactly. Now, Kieran says this is all interesting. He's very surprised to hear how things are done in China. And he also says that in North America, we mostly just have rallies and conferences.
That's right, rallies. So you might think of this as this kind of like gathering you might have had when you were in university. Basically, it's kind of like when a lot of people come together to support a common idea or cause.
Well, it's funny you say university because I always remember high school pep rallies. Everyone would get to go, you know, you get to, you don't get a half day off. Well, maybe you would get a half day off. And we'd have to go to the gym and like watch the football team come in.
That's true. We definitely have that. We also have it for first year university students.
Oh, y'all get together and rally.
Exactly.
Okay. So rallies are usually pretty fun. They're usually pretty positive. A protest, on the other hand, is almost always negative, right?
That's right, protests, you're trying to go against something, but we also have conferences here.
Okay, so you mentioned before universities and academia. Conferences, you know, you just get a bunch of people together and we just talk.
Yeah, so they give presentations, and this is really common for, let's say, like business conferences.
Yeah, sure. And then Kieran says, speaking of which,
so this is something that we use to kind of change the topic a little, but still say like stay within the general kind of subject.
Yeah, because the subject here is things that you go to that have to do with feminism. And we mentioned rallies, we mentioned conferences, and now we're talking about, well, talks.
Yeah, so this is not just like I'm talking to a friend kind of talk, is it?
No, like this is more like TED talk.
Exactly. So a talk is like a presentation. You might compare this to a speech, but like speeches can also be toasts, whereas a talk is more similar to a presentation.
Yeah, like again, I'm thinking TED talk here, right? There's somebody up there, they've got their slides or their PowerPoint. Actually, if anything, there's probably many speakers, whereas a speech is just
4 score and 7 years ago.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
I have a dream.
So those TED Talks, they're always talking about inspiring ideas and often sexism and feminism.
Well, those aren't very inspiring, are they?
No, they're not actually. But they are, like, there could be some inspiring stories.
Sure, absolutely. So sexism, you guys probably know, this is the idea that one gender is somehow better than the other gender.
Okay, so sexism could be discrimination against men, or it could be discrimination against women.
Right, important to keep that in mind. It could be, you know, women discriminating against men. 9 times out of 10, it's men discriminating against women. But just remember, it could be. It's possible. Now, another word here, though, that is trickier to define is feminism, because this word means something different to every person.
Yeah, so generally speaking, feminism is about equality.
Right.
And it's about having equal rights for both men and women.
Yes, exactly. That is the kind of feminism I can get behind. But for a lot of feminists, they are very, very, very extreme.
I think a lot of those feminists have given feminism a bad name.
Yes, exactly. I mean, that's just kind of how I feel about things in general. Like, if anybody is too extreme, they always give sort of the moderate people, the reasonable people, a bad name.
Kieran here is going to a talk on feminism. And basically, he says to Nikki, I'm attending a talk on sexism and feminism in the workplace today. If you want to come along.
If you want to come along, what? Where's the then? Aren't we supposed to do if something, then?
Usually, yes. But here, it's a little bit different. This is actually if as an invitation.
Yeah, so I'm going to have lunch later if you want to come along. Maybe I'm going to a concert later if you're interested.
Yeah, that's right. Or I've got some extra concert tickets if you're free.
Right, so it's basically saying, do you want to come?
And if you want some more information on this is actually going to be the grammar point, so have a look if you want.
Okay, and it sounds like Nikki does want to go, right? She has been reading up on gender equality.
So, reading up on is kind of like you're reading something to get information.
Yeah, you're studying, basically.
we wouldn't really say I'm reading up on a novel. But if you did say that, it kind of sounds like you're studying the novel. You're not reading it for pleasure.
Right. Like if you were reading up on a novel, and again, we don't really say this all that often, you're probably reading a lot of secondary sources, like what other people think about the novel. Maybe the novel is something very famous like The Great Gatsby.
That's a really good point. But you could also be, hey, reading up on the Olympics.
Yeah, exactly. Or like a lot of times we have to write these lessons and maybe we don't know everything about International Women's Day.
No, not quite.
So we have to read up on it a little bit. But in this case, she is reading up on gender equality.
Gender equality, just like it sounds. This is the equality between genders.
Right, exactly. So nothing too crazy here. Just this is the idea. This is the concept. It is a noun. And there really isn't, well, I suppose you could say like gender equal something. Like it could work as an adjective.
Yeah, like gender equal benefits.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Now, it's interesting you say benefits here because that gets us back into the workplace. And one of the biggest problems in the workplace today, according to some people, is the pay gap issue or the gender pay gap issue.
That's right. You could also call this the wage gap issue.
The wage gap. The whole point is the gap, as you guys know, it's a big kind of divide, a big separation between two things. In this case, it's between men getting paid a certain amount and women getting paid much less for the same job.
That's right. So Nikki says, some sources say women earn about 20% less than their male counterparts in the U.S.
Okay, quick note there. Counterpart just means the person that's in the same position as you, but on the other side.
Exactly. So we can have male counterparts. We can also have female counterparts.
Sure. Or it could be a different company. You know, maybe we've talked a few times here on Open Language about Schmopen Dangwidge. Maybe there's another host over there. We could consider that to be our counterpart.
Exactly. But just a note here, she says some sources say this.
Yeah, usually whenever I read that, my eyebrow goes up a bit. My skeptical eyebrow. You know, which sources?
Exactly. So this number, 20%. A lot of sources have been giving various numbers, but this is generally the number that people agree on. However, we're not sure exactly where they're getting that number from.
Yeah. We could say they pulled it out of somewhere, but that wouldn't be all that polite. No, it's true. I mean, generally they say 80 cents on the dollar. So that is, if you guys are good at math out there, that's, well, it's about 20%.
So Kieran says, yeah, I heard about that. A lot of companies are trying to rectify that.
Okay, rectify. This is one of those really powerful sounding words. It's powerful to say. And it also usually involves some big decision, some huge change.
So rectify kind of means to correct a situation.
To make it right. Right? There is a wrong. The wrong is this pay gap, and we need to make it right. We need to rectify the situation.
So you might want to rectify any injustices you might have felt at work.
Yeah, that's always, like, when I think about justice, this is one of those words that comes to mind. It must be rectified. There's so much injustice in the world.
So one of those things that needs to be rectified is the glass ceiling.
The glass ceiling. Yes, this is a great injustice that still exists in the world. Look no further than the 2016 presidential election. A woman named Hillary Clinton, you're probably very familiar with, came very, 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 very close to being president of the United States. But at some point, she just hit that ceiling. She can't go any higher.
Right. So just as you guys can imagine, that glass ceiling is an invisible barrier that stops women from achieving higher positions.
Right. But before you get too discouraged about that, I forget the line that Hillary Clinton said, but it's something like, even though we didn't break the glass ceiling, we still, you know, put lots of cracks in it. So it's kind of ready to go for next time.
That's for sure. I'm sure we're planting plenty of cracks in it now. But this is still a particular problem for female executives.
Right. So we're talking about the president, who is basically the head of the executive part of the government. But of course, here we're talking about like companies, right? CEOs, CFOs.
That's right. So executives refers to people in positions of power who can make decisions.
Who can execute decisions, right?
Exactly. But going back to the glass ceiling, this is a particular problem in male-dominated industries.
Yes, like podcasting.
Hey, I'm cracking that one.
You're cracking the glass ceiling. The glass ceiling at Open Language, I think it was cracked long ago. Seeing as how, you know, the CEO of this company is a lady. But of course, male-dominated here just means, you know, controlled by men. And male-dominated industries, this is no secret, they're called the STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math.
All right. But these STEM industries or male-dominated industries are trying to be a little bit more inclusive.
Okay, inclusive. Come on in. We're all friends here. Come on in.
So just like it sounds, this is the adjective version of include.
Include. We want to include everybody. Are you bad at math? Who cares? Come on in. You're a lady.
That's right. That would be the perfect example of inclusive here.
And don't forget, guys, that the opposite of inclusive is exclusive.
That's right. So if they say, we don't want you, that would be exclusive.
Right. They want to exclude you. They want to keep you down.
All right, but this is all a part of the feminist movement. And one of the big things that is mentioned here is the Me Too movement.
Right. So this is probably like the most recent example of, or wave, I guess you could say, of feminism. There have been several waves throughout history. One was 100 years ago, one was 50 years ago, one was 30 years ago. This one, though, has basically come in direct response to, well, basically it started with Harvey Weinstein.
That's right, and all his sexual harassment.
It was sexual harassment, right? It was just enough people finally came forward. Again, it's that Hillary Clinton metaphor of just you're not breaking the glass ceiling. You're just kind of chipping away at it, chipping away at it. And then finally, you have enough small chips that it's broken.
That's right. So the Me Too has really kind of broken through this. And one reason why it spread so quickly is because it was on the internet.
Well, that's true. That is very true. Another reason it has spread so quickly is because there are a lot of people who can say Me Too, right? They see Harvey Weinstein, they see Bill Cosby, they see these men in not just Hollywood, but other male-dominated industries, and thought, you know what? That guy's also sexually harassed me, and I didn't want to say anything, but now here's a million other people who have said something. Maybe Me Too.
Yeah, exactly. So people all over the world have been saying Me Too.
And this has forced a lot of companies, a lot of industries to step up.
Yeah, so step up here, it has two basic meanings. One of them is step up to the challenge, and the other one is to improve.
Improve something, right? So yeah, like to meet a challenge.
That's right. You can kind of imagine a sort of a staircase, and you're kind of moving upwards to improvement.
Sure, that's a good way to look at it. Now, of course, it's something that, you know, not all companies can really do. You know, it's, you know, we're always trying to step up in a lot of ways at Open Language. Fortunately, we have not had a lot of, you know, sexual harassment, Me Too kind of challenges.
No, not around here.
Not around here. But if we did, we could say something like, oh man, don't even get me started.
That's right. So man, first of all, this is kind of like an expression of, I guess you'd say, like, annoyance?
Yeah. I mean, what's the technical word? Interjection?
Yeah, it is an interjection.
Right. Like, I mean, a lot of people would want to say, like, God. But you can't always say God around so many people.
No. So you'd probably just say, like, man, or in really kind of casual situations, you might hear, dude.
Dude, yeah. We've used geez a lot lately. And it's not that geez is the wrong word to use. It's just kind of, it's not as powerful as saying God or man, or even, as Lisa just mentioned, dude, don't even get me started.
Yeah, so don't even get me started. This kind of means that if you allow me to talk about this subject, I will talk about it forever.
Right, exactly. Now, you might have seen this before as just don't get me started. What does the even do here?
Even kind of emphasizes the feeling.
Right, so don't even get me started.
And the long version of that would be, don't even get me started talking about this.
But no one has that much time to say a phrase like that. And speaking of time, since we, of course, care about your time, why don't we listen to that dialogue one more time?
That sounds good to me. Hey, do you guys get a half day off for women on International Women's Day?
Nope. It's a regular workday for us. Why? Do women get time off in China?
Yep. Of course not all women take the time off, but they are entitled to it under law.
Interesting. I think we mostly just have rallies and conferences. Speaking of which, I'm attending a talk on sexism and feminism in the workplace today if you want to come along.
Why not? I've actually been reading up on gender equality and the pay gap issue. Apparently, some sources say women earn about 20% less than their male counterparts in the U.S.
Yeah, I heard about that. A lot of companies are trying to rectify that, but there's still a glass ceiling, especially for female executives.
But I do think that some of the male-dominated industries are trying to be more inclusive. The Me Too movement has forced a lot of companies to step up.
Yeah, that's definitely something I wish our company would work a little harder on.
Man, don't even get me started.
Okay, guys, we have spent the past couple minutes talking about female power and feminism.
That's right, because it's all for International Women's Day.
Yes, so as we mentioned before, and as you might already be aware, this is not a huge deal over here.
No, it is a growing interest, but it is still not the same as in China.
But I wonder, though, because Me Too is huge here. Like, we don't have this day, you know, International Women's Day, but we do have this huge movement that is spreading.
That's very true. And we also have women's marches that occur every year.
Right. Marches, rallies, conferences, talks. So what kinds of things are going on in China?
That's right. So let us know what you guys do for Women's Day and if you have ever experienced that glass ceiling.
Exactly. As always, we are looking forward to your comments. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.
See you then. It's a pretty rare happy day.